Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. So Linda, after the class, maybe you can come with me and I'll tell you what everybody's doing. Anything you want to report? Or, yeah.
Well, I just have, I can't remember how to pronounce the superior.
Avalokiteshvara. 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 Teshvara. Avalokiteshvara.
Could you give us the on the other mantra, the Akasama?
Akasha Maratsa Sada Rasamara Ope. Akasha. Akasha is the seed syllable for space. Mara is what you're watching when you're watching your perceptions. It's the how technical do you want this?
Gone.
Mara, there are four Maras, unless there's five. The four Maras are often compared in Tantra to Brahma, Vishnu, Indra, Vishnu, and Shiva. And they are face up, usually supporting whatever the deity is, meaning that that deity has transcended being caught by their illusion, and they support, they are the support. Having transcended that, like I'm saying about your crap, having transcended it, it becomes your power, it's your support, it's your understanding, right? So the first Mara is the Mara of, sometimes it's called Son of God, and it's believing in nescience of external objects, believing in the reality, in the livingness of external objects. And Brahma is the God in charge from the point of origin of time, coming into being, existing, passing away, time, the four seasons that I talked about before. So it's that whole sense of subject-object. So that's the illusion of Mara. And Mara is usually translated as illusion, sometimes as death. And the next three are a belief in the aggregates as real, a belief in emotions, usually called afflictions, and then a belief in death. So there are the four illusions. They are also the four powers. Just as I said about your key that's in the dark. When you learn how to move into the dark and find your key, that's a power. So just calling it illusion is like saying everything is empty, therefore it doesn't matter what the heaven I do, which isn't true, because there is cause and effect. There is the dancing energy. So the respect for the Maras, learning what their power is, and then learning how to move with it, is how the transcendence, which is why they're face up, supporting you. They are the foundation. That's what you have to go through. So Mara means illusion. That's the short one. And the other one is the very minimum middle length explanation. And I'll save you the long one because it could take me a week. So Akasha, Mara, Dza is a seed syllable. Sadhana, faith, power, confidence, always a good thing to have. Akasha, Mara, Dza, Sada, Rasa. Oh, it's Sada Rasa, right? Sada Rasa Maraya Pe. Is that right? Yeah. Sada comes from faith or confidence. Ra is fire. That would be kind of like with confident devotion rather than with stupid devotion.
So continuing, like rasa in Sanskrit is like nectar. However, you can break it up, ra and sa. So
yeah, it is the going up and the nectar return.
And then this next maraya.
Maraya.
Is this mara exponential? Is this two maras or?
This is more like the deathless state, but I don't know how to break it down. So I'm going like a the here. Pe is the seed syllable to expel ignorance and dullness. So it's like the sound of an eagle really high in the sky. Pe, pe, pe. Or it's pe, depending on how you need to break things up. So that's absolutely, that's what I know. That's my version of what that mantra means.
I didn't know what I was saying. It was so beautiful.
Well,
it felt so nice.
It's a beautiful mantra. It's a beautiful mantra. And it's very nice to do that whole little ritual at the end, isn't it?
I have one other question on this. A real basic one that everyone else knows. What exactly is a sutra?
Okay, everybody who knows what a sutra is and has always known, please put up your hand. Those who have always known and know now. Would you just look around, please? How many people have their hands up?
No.
I mean, you're not that good, is what I'm trying to tell you. You know, you may be good, but you don't qualify.
So what is it?
Sutra means a hearing. It's like the parables or the teachings of the Buddha.
Okay. I'm just thinking it was comparable to parables.
Yeah, you got it.
Another part of the meaning is suture is a derivative from sutra. So if
suture.
Suture, you know, Joseph Campbell.
Yeah. Yeah, to pull together. Yeah. Naming is definitely pulling together. I beg your?
I have a question.
Goody. Perverseness.
They're literally talking perverse?
Yeah, it is. Well, you have to consider, though, we're talking like the Buddhist language here.
Well,
now, the Buddha, he said that everybody who wasn't fully awakened was crazy. like everybody. And they're running around in perversity. Because they're perverse. They could be doing this, but they're doing this. Very perverse. Yeah, I always found that good to know that I was in good company. Everybody I know, we're all here together.
What's the name that you were talking about? Two meditations, or I thought you were, Vipassana and then...
Samatha.
Is that what this, the meditation we're doing on?
Is Samatha. It's sometimes translated as calm or calm abiding meditation. Okay. Samatha. Unless you spell it. Chuck?
S-A-M-A-T-H-A.
T-H-A. Unless you spell it. Shamatha, right? S-H or S. A. I'm starting to depend on you for Sanskrit eyes. S-A-M-A-T-H-A. Samatha is good. Sometimes you hear people say it Shamatha because they're saying it more the Sanskrit way. It means calm abiding or calm. Meditations to develop calm. And basically, when you do a calm abiding meditation, what happens is that you empty the waste baskets that you've been collecting so carefully and nurturing and developing and hiding away in little corners of your psyche and then going in at night and putting guard dogs outside in case anybody comes and tries to relieve you of them. You know? Just generally really keeping them pretty close and comfy. And in samatha, what you're doing is your mind is calm. That means your mind isn't joining the play. And so you experience all the griefs, all the angers, all the joys, but you just watch them. So in the beginning, of course, you don't just watch them. You get totally... One of my very earliest retreats when I finally realized I really did have to meditate. I mean, it was true. Damn. And I used to tell you, if I was going for a weekend meditation, I would only take 5 joints. I thought that would probably see me through. Because we left early on the second day, you see, so... I was just exactly the kind of student that makes me, whenever I meet anybody who seems a little bit unhappy or really, you know, kind of got a little twist to them, I think, oh, welcome. I deserve you. Come in. And so I actually, for some reason, wasn't smoking so much, nor was I... sunbathing, which was another thing I used to do, is put my tent in an area where nobody came and then sit with my clothes off and angle my body for the sun at different watching my breath, of course. Went through all those kind of things, you know, so. But I was actually meditating, or what I called meditating at that time. Except that every time any kind of emotion or difficulty came up, I totally thought I had to get past it or it shouldn't be there. Is that any... You don't... None of you do that, do you? No, probably not. You all look like you're beyond that stage. And a few hours before, I had been really just sailing along, you know. I think I was really having good fantasies or something, you know. And then all of a sudden, I hit this patch where, like, I mean, I was scum. That's polite. I shouldn't even be there. I mean, there was no hope. Like, it was useless. It was... Just then, before that, my beloved teacher Ananda Bodhi didn't invite me to come and give a meditation report. Just when I really hit a good pit, somebody comes up to my tent. At this point, I'm not nude, praise all the gods, and says, you know, sir wants to see you. You can do that if you want to. But it's not going to get you anywhere. And if you've got a good teacher, you go and sit in front of him and he says, yes. You say, and he says, well, maybe in your next lifetime. And there you are. So if you're having a really good time with that, maybe in your next lifetime. You know, if you have a really good time. So in samatha, you'll find a lot of different things arise. At some point, you got to get bored with all of them, which is why it's called calm abiding. Because after a while, they all start coming up, and you just don't fall for them. You know, that's not what you want to do. You know, it's not interesting. You know, it doesn't matter who did what to who. Which lifetime, which mother, which father, which son, which daughter. You know? Who did what to who? Who cares? If it was done, next. Next. Right? So it's called calm abiding. Because by the time you've gone through enough of the garbage bags, you're not so impressed. You don't go, or, you know, oh, did I throw this out? Oh, I remember that day. You know? You just are sitting there perceiving perception, perceiving the waves and ripples. When you can do that, the mind is calm. That means you've got a good base. That means you have the power then to ask some questions that if you ask them when you're trying not to see, those questions would break you apart. So then you do the other kind of meditation, which is called insight. That means you ask good questions. Like, who's in charge? But you can try to do insight before, but you're not really going to get very far because there's whole parts of yourself that you haven't opened, right? And if one of those parts open, do you understand? Not the dramas, but the underneath the dramas open, and you don't want to go there, it's very uncomfortable. It's scary. Does that make sense to you? So first you do samatha. You teach yourself to observe perception enough so that no matter what comes up, you know it is a perception, a point of view based on, if only, this lifetime. Not on 20 lifetimes. Not on 50,000 stories of whoever did what to whose background. Not on the coming into being and passing away of all the threads. Nobody's fault. Everybody does the best they can. Some of us are more stupid than others. We keep thinking people should do something they're not doing. Like they're doing what they're doing. Shut up. Fuck off. Get off it. Let's get real. Time is short. You're gonna die. Do you wanna die with your little vengeance list or how badly done by you are, you know, writing it over and over? Because I will have the power to take you through Bardo and into another one. You can try again. That's good, eh? Isn't that exciting? I just have to think about my adolescence and I don't want to repeat it. You know, I just have to have like one little flashback of 1 week of being 15 and I say, on the other hand, where's my cushion? Does this make sense to you? So it doesn't matter whether you're successful in the trying, only that you don't tell your source self stories about why you are or aren't successful. Because you're not the judge. All you're doing is trying to perceive perception. That's all. And if you only do it once, that might be enough. If you only do it once in a 10-year period, it's the attempt, it's the intention that matters. That's harder for us, isn't it? But that's the only place we have to go. All we have to do is establish the state of calm, where you quit trying to make allies and enemies and get the worldly dharmas all lined up to keep you safe, because they won't keep you safe. They won't. It doesn't work that way. It's unfortunate. However, if one of you really persists at it and you find that they do keep you safe, please come and tell me, because I'll come and study with you. You know, I admit I don't know everything. So maybe you can figure out how to go after love. Trying to get everybody to love you is actually a path. But from my experience, it's more profitable to try to love everybody than it is to try to get everybody to love me. So many people are biased about Scorpios, you know. So there's one kind, it's called calm abiding, samatha. That's the majority of meditation. The other kind is called insight or vipassana. Vipassana? V, that sounds like a we when you say it though. V-I-P-A-S-S-A-N-A. Two S's? Mm-hmm. I think so. And then actually there is a third kind of meditation, and it's called non-dual. And a lot of deity yoga is non-dual. Like Chenrezig. Vipassana is involved with insight. There are 3, 4, or 5 insights, depending on how you want to look at it. First insight is impermanence. First insight is verb. God is a verb. First insight is impermanence. Everything is a flow. All of the things that you hold in your memory as fixed realities are not. Everything is a flow. Even your memories change. We all know that, don't we? Just wait until you're 64 if you don't know it yet. What was I talking about? Second insight is called dukkha, D-U-K-K-H-A. Of which, of course, because I'm a good Buddhist, I would be glad to tell you there are 3 kinds. First one is the dissatisfactoriness of the unpleasant, painful, etc. The actual painful. The second one is the dissatisfactoriness of change. That is, okay, you get the dishes done and then somebody comes in and has a peanut butter sandwich. The love affair is absolutely superb and then you wake up the next morning. You get the idea. kid, when he or she is born, oh my God, oh, look. And then they turn 15. What have I done wrong? So that's like the dissatisfactoriness of change, that even if you do get everything right, why do you think that's going to last? Why do you think that's the way things should be? Why don't you give it up? Nothing is going to last. If nothing else, you're going to die. Who knows when? We all know that. Why don't we know it? It's a good one, isn't it? That driven feeling because something was lost once and maybe it was your fault, or maybe if you could just get it right. Is that true? If I could just keep trying for... It's worse if something like that happens to you when you're really young, because then you get really obsessed by it, don't you? Don't you?
Yes.
I think so. Because you don't know what happens to everybody. Because your friends still have a, you know, brand new car in their driveway and whatever, you know? Gold card and two parents or whatever. Whatever it is. Whether they do or not, it looks that way to you. Doesn't it? So you have some kind of disaster and you get so fixated on it, you can't see you're not the only one. Can you see that? Because you're not the only one. You're not only the only one. There is no one else when you're in that. So you cannot see your reaction, your relations with other people. Everything is they should see your relationship. Is that right? That's very painful, isn't it? When I was doing it, it was very painful. I don't think I'm doing it now, but you can let me know. I'd be very glad to know. When I was doing that, that was very painful. So it's like that feeling that something is perfect and then it's gone. Do you understand? The idea that it was perfect before is not true. This is the problem. If it was perfect, it wouldn't be gone. What you really have, you can't lose. You have to get to that point where you understand that. Where that there is something you can use your griefs for that is more real if you turn it to compassion. Do you understand me? I'm dwelling on this a little more because there seems to be some interest. And you know me, I always monger after interest. That's the second kind. It just doesn't stay the same the next morning. Second kind of dissatisfactoriness. And the third kind is the dissatisfactoriness, which it called all-pervasive dissatisfactoriness, which I call maintenance. One of Tibetan texts I was reading on this says, you're always in the middle. You wake up and you're in the middle of something. You go to sleep and you're in the middle of something. You die in the middle. You're born in the middle. You come into a room and it's already in the middle. Everything is... You leave and it's in the middle. Does this make sense? I Everything is always in the middle. There's always ongoing becoming, 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 becoming. Have any of you ever finished anything? Come on, lie to me. Somebody, put up your hand. Not really.
School?
Hmm? Yeah. So, like, that's the end of going to school. But is it the end of schooling?
No.
And do you go to school with your kids?
Yes.
And do you pay taxes to continue schools?
Yes.
Continue
education.
Yeah. But, yeah, you get to the end of something, but that is only ever in the middle of... That's a preparation, and you're already doing the next thing before that one finishes, and then that one finishes, but you don't notice because you're doing, you know. Didn't it feel like a letdown a couple of days after you finished school?
Yeah.
Wasn't that supposed to mean something?
Yeah.
Yeah. A friend of mine phoned me because he works for the drama department at University of Alberta. He used to be in charge of special effects for Second City and various comedy things. It was John Candy and all those guys who, they were all Canadian, and they did this great Canadian thing. And he used to be their special effects, so he used to be able to set off bombs and stuff like this, like on a weekly basis, you know. And so now he teaches set design and special effects at a university to people who are majoring in drama. So every year he sort of creates and dissolves universes, you know, like continuously, like this major thing. And that just suits his personality, just suits his personality. And so he phones me because it's the last day of school, and he says, you know, he talks real slow. You know, every year at this time, I feel like I've been fired. Have you got anything for me to do? Can I tile your bathroom? And behind, I can hear his wife mentally saying, please. Just, you know, bring him down off of the universe creation, because it's not finished. It's finished, but it's not finished. There's this continuous move, isn't it? And something else starts before you finish school, even. You're starting to think about, well, where am I going? We're always in the middle. I mean, when you name something as a noun, you can imagine it finished. Well, that's the end of dinner, unless I pay attention to my stomach. Right? Or my bones. They're taking... Okay, send some of that over here. Is that clear?
Yes.
So those are the three kinds of dissatisfactoriness. So that's the first insight is into what?
Impermanence.
Second one? Dukkha, or dissatisfactoriness. So I said that was saying this morning how incredible it is to me that the Buddha had the ability to just see that. Those three kinds to say there is dissatisfactoriness. Not it's my fault, it's your fault, it's their fault, I gotta change my position, I should buy one of those new cushions. You know, none of those things. Like just really straightforward. There is dissatisfactoriness. Being alive means dissatisfactory. That's an insight, you see. Allows you to relax. The third one is that there is no thingness. There is no inherent identity. This is not a glass because it is not going to, it did not arise before the universe began and will continue after the universe ended. Identity would be, if there was a fixed identity, it would be like a stainless steel ball bearing, only even better than that, rolling through time and space, never changed by anything. That is not a possibility. There is a mental continuum. There is no fixed identity. A mental continuum is, if I take one of these candles, right? So I got a candle here, right? And I got that candle is lit. I'm going to drip stuff all over when I do this. Whose tablecloth is this? Oh my God, I can't do that. She'll never forgive me. If it was, yeah, exactly. Precisely.
I have that story and I remember. And,
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. I'll do it this way. So you see, this candle is lit, isn't it? Okay, it's going to drip. Okay, well, too bad. It's going to put itself up. Which flame is the right flame? Whoops, come on there. Whoops, I put it out. Which flame? You understand what I'm saying, though? It's a continuum. There is cause and effect. There's a flow. Circumstances are there. This occurs. Bet you I can't light this sucker. Okay, I failed the candle test, but I hope you got the analogy. Did you get the analogy?
Circumstances are there.
Yeah, so there is a flow. There's cause and effect, there is a flow. But there isn't, that is not the candle flame, do you understand? That is inherently the candle flame. There are these conditions, they arise, when they arise, this arises. There's a continuum. Condition can move from point to point. There is a mental continuum, like a flame. It is not the same. Neither is it different. Anatta. Those are the three insights. If there's four, then the fourth insight is Nibbana, peace. Peace. If there's five, it's Paññatti, the wisdom of a Buddha that is able to see all coming into being and passing away, to understand all cause and effect. Unless you have that kind of wisdom, it's useless to try to remember what you said or they said or who did what to who. Because it's all going to be based on your own projections or perceptions. And they're driven by your emotions. And if you're not in a state of total loving kindness, your perceptions are not trustworthy. They are trustworthy as perceptions, but not trustworthy as cause and effect, as Paññatti, right? As total wisdom. Yeah?
I don't understand that, the cause and effect part.
Nothing arises without cause. Mm-hmm. That's all there is to understand. If there is a cause, there will be an effect. There are billions of causes and effects occurring all the time. Billions.
But if you don't have the wisdom of a Buddha, then you don't understand exactly which cause.
Well, the Buddha didn't very often give advice about what wasn't good to pay attention to. But one of the things he said is, if you want to try to figure out the first cause or how something came into being. That's one of the quick ways to go mad unless you have the wisdom of full awakening. Because it's so complex. And because there are so many things that we don't quite see because we prefer this and we don't want to know that. I certainly know that about myself.
Because really, if you're affected by being affected by the worldly dharmas, then you select not based on wisdom, but...
Exactly.
Based on...
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Partial views. Mm. What you hope. What you fear.
What is the Pali or Sanskrit name for perception? Or to perceive?
Perception. Sanya. S-A-N-Y-A-N.
Okay. Excuse me. Your microphone came on.
Oh, thank you. Turn your microphone. I want to hear more of your questions. Any questions about that little blue, dull casino? That mundane, boring casino?
I was wondering, or as I was doing that meditation, I noticed whatever thoughts are we supposed to say thinking or perceiving, or does it matter?
It doesn't matter,
okay.
Darling.
Well, as they come up, I noticed if I just named them and maybe they subside a little bit. It almost seemed as though they had to come back because they were afraid to be forgotten.
Because you don't know who you are if you're not thinking.
Yes. So
yeah, that's right. That's right. That's what I was saying. We're addicted to them. But really, they're not very satisfying. And they keep us in a very small box. So that's why you only do this for a short time. Then you let go. And then you do it again. And then you let go. And it's like, you know, a little trail of crumbs for the bird to follow. Nice. Thank you. That's great. Yes, ma'am.
Most of the time it was just kind of a dull thing, sort of blobby, like I was describing this morning. But on one meditation in particular, it started to really change and leap off the page and sort of do some funny things. And I don't know if that was just me being tired or if that was actually something that was happening during the meditation.
Are they separate? Were you being tired apart from the meditation? Answer my question.
No.
Thank you. Would they be separate condition then?
No.
Okay. That's so. First of all, let's not go there. Okay. Are you using the casino as a mirror, or are you thinking that something might arise from it? Did you understand my question, my love?
No.
Are you using the kasina, the mandala, as a mirror? That is to say, using it just to have a place for your eyes to rest and then watching what arises in your mind?
Yes.
Or are you looking to see whether something will happen with the mandala?
Probably a little bit of both.
Yeah, so don't. Don't do both. That's probably why it's fuzzy. Mm-hmm. What you want to do is... use your eyes to perceive that, then soften your vision and just hold your mind clear without anything. Just that in your vision, just your mind clear, and your mind won't stay clear. Some thought will come up, some hearing, some emotion. Immediately, you just name it. Oh, that perception or feeling. Experience or perception is fine. Or thinking if you want, or hearing, whatever. But I'm... the way I learned it was experience or feeling and perception. And just name it. And then just see that it is basically empty if you don't feed it. It's transparent. and let it go and go back to the clear mind. So this object is just to teach you how to hold your mind steady. If you can get all kinds of things happening with the mandala, but it is not going to be of any use. It could be of some use. I know that various people are very impressed with the ideas of visions and psychic powers, so for a while you could entertain. You could get a crowd of admirers, and maybe you could milk it for more. Some people could do it as a career. But I don't think that's really what you're after. I mean, you could if you wanted to work it that way. You know, have some channeling experience from Alpha Centauri and what they know about politics on Earth, I don't know, but that's all right. Did they vote in the last election? Never mind. Is that okay? Yeah. It's that, like, you know, going in and trying to do both. And it just won't work. It just won't work, my friend. What you can do is decide, okay, I'm going to try one. And if you find yourself slipping in the other, say, oops, slip. Now I go back to the one again. Oops, slip. Now I go back to the one. And kind of keep that a kind of a steady focus. And you can do either one. If you want to, you know, get some wowies, you can do the mandala. But the mandala is supposed to be boring for this meditation. Well, not boring, but mundane, not supra. Is that reasonable? Chuck?
Yeah, when I'm done with it, sometimes I'll close my eyes and I still see it.
Yeah.
And just walk on, just let that go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if you want to, then you can use it like to develop jhana, which is fine too. And that's, you know, more in the area that I'm moving Lisa away from, because I would like to see Lisa establish the calmness with perception first, and that was the exercise I gave. But if after you have the ability to hold that calmness with perception, regardless of experience, whatever emotion, whatever perception arises, to be able to have the calm mind. Do you understand? Do you understand how valuable that would be? Then you would actually be able to see things as they are. So if once you can do that, then of course you can develop powerful mind, which is concentration. But first you want the clarity, and then you would develop the power from the way I work it. And this is more the way the Tibetan tradition teaches calm abiding. Calm. How do you say it? Calm.
Okay.
Calm. Is that what I say it?
Calm.
Calm. Calm. I have to live here. I'm not doing well. Teach me English.
Calm.
That one. Anyone else would like to give me a report? Yes. What energy? What the energy? Would you just tell me where it is?
Right here. And it's...
So your head starts feeling what?
A lot of energy and like I'm not connected.
Your start starts feeling like it's swelling or pushing or pressure, pushing up, yeah, and...
When I went to question it, it seems to be all that stuff about trying
Why did you question it? Why didn't you just say perception and go back to the meditation? So then why didn't you say experience or emotion and then go back to the meditation? Why am I asking you this? Why am I asking you this? I'm trying to derail her. Why am I asking you this? Because she was just about on a train there. She was going off again. I catch her. Why am I asking you this?
I'm not sure.
What would be my reason for asking you this?
Because I'm not. I must be getting involved.
Because where the mind goes, the energies gather. So if you don't like it, that means you're going to focus on it more. So if you focus on it more, it's going to get more intense.
Right.
Why don't you just note the dislike of it? Note the dislike and then go back to the meditation. The dislike is basically empty. It's just dislike.
So if that same thought keeps on coming back, you just note that you dislike.
It's not the same thought. I've been in every one of these places. That's why I'm so fast on it, you know? I'm just hoping you don't spend as long as I did, you know? I'm just hoping you don't spend as long as me. Because you don't have to. And it's not particularly rewarding. I mean, there are better things. Honest. But it's up to you. It's not the same thought. Why are you so impressed with progress?
Because it's not stagnation, it's change.
Show me where there's some stagnation, please. Oh, you're just being intellectual now. Just because you gave me the right answer doesn't mean I'll accept it. You can see, both of you can see this, the dislike there, the sense of irritation there, that it's not what you think it should be. So already, you're not watching your mind's perceptions. You're already doing one that it should go somewhere other, or it shouldn't go there, right? So that's the movie. That's the movie. And you note it, and you become aware of the screen. And you say, this is a highly entertaining movie. I have paid millions and millions of moments of ticket money. You know, I've used up a lot of the merit in my merit bank to get tickets to this movie. I think I'll really watch it this time. So I don't have to go again. Or I'm going to drop it because I've seen it. Why do you want to miss something? Why do you want to be stuck with what you don't want? You don't have to do that. You're just sitting there minding your own business.
Written by Cecily. Starring Cecily. Co-stars Cecily. Casting Cecily. Screenplay, Cecily. Credits.
Yes. What? Oh, no, I didn't say anything. No, thank you.
Written by Cecily. Huh?
It's never satisfactory. If you believe dukkha, Look at it. If it was going to be satisfactory, maybe the first million times, one of those times, it would have been satisfactory. You know? If there was a way for it to come to resolution. You're much more beautiful than that. You are. You are. Dislike is fine. It allows us to survive. You don't try to get rid of or look at or get hypnotized like a deer in the headlights by what you dislike. You look at the dislike and say, oh, that's interesting. And it's coming into being, existing, and passing away. Next. It doesn't have to go away. You don't have to get anything. If you stop trying to get anything, you'll get something. You'll get that you don't have to get anything. You purged a perversity. Can we say that?
Yes. And so that's what, when you were just talking to Susan, that's what, that's part, besides that it's Joan scenario, but of what happens, why I don't like when I feel whatever it is that I feel.
No, the don't like is fine. It's disliking the dislike or thinking that you actually should act on it. Thinking that it's possible to get rid of something rather than thinking, oh, that's curious dislike. Either you're going to split the world in two, or you're going to have it one-ment. Which do you want?
At one-ment.
Then quit splitting the world, my friend. Quit believing that you can argue good and bad or right and wrong. There are actions that cause you to feel more at one, and there are actions that do not. Pay attention, perceive your actions, see whether they make you feel more at one or they make you feel more at war. It's so simple. But we see, when we feel at war, then we try harder to find the right. Which means we have to put more parts of ourselves or others in hell, right? Mm-hmm. Which means eventually, you know, hell, the food's not great, so they're going to rebel, you know, and they're going to start storming, and some of them will get through, you know. They'll move into the neighborhood. The neighborhood will go to hell. And then what? Better go for Edwinman. In hell, admire the flowers. How the flames dance. You are.
I kept pulling myself back.
Yeah, yeah.
But I couldn't quite.
And it's such a simple little meditation, isn't it? I mean, nothing very profound or like 10 minutes, for Christ's sake. I mean, who could do anything in 10 minutes? It's lovely, isn't it? Don't worry about it. The wonderful thing about the ego, and I really mean this with all my heart, is if you really are in danger, The ego will just fish you out. You'll fall asleep. You'll suddenly be up because you absolutely have to pee. Or you heard somebody calling your name. You won't even think about it. You'll be out the door. And then later, you'll be coming back. You'll stop for a glass of water and you'll check the weather. And you'll come back and you think, why did I get up so fast? And then the little worm of curiosity will start working. And you'll have a little more security because you know you can trust yourself that you'll jump away if you need to. So the fear is a little less, you have a little more interest, a little more confidence in yourself. The barriers of fear get pushed back a little more. People can't fear fear. That's a real disadvantage. Fear opens up all your senses, doesn't it? I mean, do you ever have such great awareness? Better than dislike. Let me recommend fear. Dislike is, you know, minor league. Fear, that's the real one. Well, I think it was my beloved teacher, Namgyal Rinpoche, but I'm not sure. One of my teachers said, fear, awe. And it's true, isn't it? So what you want to do is teach yourself not to be afraid of being just a little bit overwhelmed. You're awe. Just a little peep show. Now I'll get up and run. Tiptoe. Anyone else? Come on, I've got an exercise to show you. Yeah.
When you were doing the Heart Sutra, I was doing the mantra, and for a brief moment I forgot everything, where it was. It's like I vanished.
And then you came back? Fuck. Oh. Well, try again. Yeah.
I didn't know if it was a good or a bad thing, or if it was significant at all.
Too bad. Who were you when you were gone?
I was like the space where I was sitting.
Was like, so there was this quality of space.
Yeah, it was like all...
It's like a shift of dimension.
It was like all the lines that define me just were gone.
Yeah, so like a shift of dimension.
Yes.
Is that reasonable?
Yeah.
It's very dem joke of you. A dem joke. Oh, yeah. Seen one dem joke, you've seen them all. Yeah, chicken today, dem joke tomorrow. Can you do something different, like Manjushri, like surprise me or something?
No,
I mean, you know, like entertain me, I might leave, you know. No, if you entertain me, I might leave. Oh, no, wait. Yeah, that's right. And then there was back, right? For just for a moment, there was a shift of this spaciousness, some otherness, right? And then back.
Yeah, I felt really disoriented when I came back.
Oh, yeah, because I like to be stable. Otherwise, I'm in control of my meditation, so I never feel fear. But when I'm doing a meditation that isn't really important, I can get really involved with it. Oh, my God! Yeah? Is that it?
Yeah, it's just a brief moment.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know what to think.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I was on the times that I have had the great good fortune of practicing that particular meditation, which, as you mentioned to me, is your yidam. You did say that, didn't you? That's how I remember. That's what you look like to me.
Thank you.
Well, you don't know whether you should thank me or not.
I'm guessing.
There is a real ability to shift time and space with that. That is to say, perception changes. And so this meditation that you're doing is all about being able to see the emptiness of perception. So I wouldn't be surprised if something like that would happen. It's a long way from mastery, but it's a key to a talent of the yidam, also of a weakness of the yidam,
of course,
to shift. You got something to say? No, he's speechless. Who are you going to speak to?
Gosh, I'd love to. I was thinking, actually, for me, it's just still an emotional kind of roller coaster. So it feels
which
sometimes
is,
like tearful at times, peaceful at times.
Which is exactly right. It's just fine. Are you able to sit for the 10 minutes? That's great. Are you sometimes able to watch the emotion?
Mm-hmm. I don't feel as
excited by it. Yeah. Well, last year you learned a lot.
Yes.
I thought you did really well last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So by doing this, even more calm will develop. Mm-hmm. And it's so nice to empty the waste paper baskets. I mean, it really is. So that's great. You don't have any questions for me? I'll hit you all in. Hey, you. What's happening?
I had an experience, maybe it was similar to what she experienced, where I was focusing on it, and then it seemed like there were line drawings or something, and they would move and kind of expand. And the thought occurred to me while that was happening, is this something I'm getting caught up in? Am I focusing too much on it? So I look for the space in between me and the flower, and I look for the space in front of my eyes, and then the space behind my eyes, and it still seemed to happen.
It's still doing. It's fine.
And I perceived it for a while, and it would sort of move and then stop and move and stop, and it seemed to be images, but I didn't really know what they were.
Right.
And then at the end, I perceived that my eyes were kind of or dried out, and so I blinked, and they cheered up, and then I had this sigh. And then
good.
That was interesting.
It is interesting, isn't it? Yeah. Just fine, because all the time you're watching it, you're aware that it's perception. It's beautiful. It's just fine. There can be many experiences. If we don't very often just take a mirror and look at how our mind dances, or how many levels our mind is dancing on. So that's just fine. Excellent. Thank you. Who else?
Are you going to speak to me?
Are you going to speak to me?
My body has been getting in the way of it. I did it twice this afternoon, and most of my perceptions were there was a pain here, or my heart was beating, or
which is exactly fine. That's like sensing. You say sensing, perceiving sensation, and just relax, and then you go back to just being aware of the mind on which that sensation is dancing. The screen of the movie. It's just fine. Everybody's different. And you will find this will become very interesting. I'm saying this because that was more my path. So I'm actually, I haven't said this to many people, I'm telling you, because, hey, I like that path.
You started with...
I'm just saying, I know that path, that's all I'm saying. That's just fine. Just carry on with the practice. See how very easy it is for us to discount the experiences that happen to us. You know, or think that that's not the meditation, because isn't that what you did and you did and you did and you did? You see, every one of us, that's where we will fall, not perceiving this as the practice. This is the mandala, it is the mirror, it is reflecting the perceptions and experiences of your mind. You're just watching the movie of your mind. That's all. At the moment, you're not editing it. You're not, you're not cheering for one side or the other, you know? You're not doing a critique. Does this help when I say this? Are you sure?
Is it supposed to stop moving and doing things?
I beg your pardon?
Well...
What did she just say?
Is this supposed to stop moving and doing things?
What did I just say?
I know. And so it's not supposed... It's okay just to watch this perception just always shimmering, always...
You watch the perception.
You just, that's...
And know that it's a perception.
It doesn't hold still at all, ever. It's just always...
Yeah, and?
Okay.
Woo!
See?
See?
And that's okay. Because it doesn't feel like...
You're good. So all you're doing is just following the instructions. That's all you're doing. And probably nothing will happen. So just keep following them. Then you go home and do something else, you know.
Again.
You're welcome. Oh, you didn't say thank you. Have I heard from you? Yeah, Chuck.
Me?
Yeah.
What do you want to hear?
I don't know. Anything?
Yes.
How was the weather today?
Here we go. I can spin them off. Anyway, yes, I was watching the thoughts, the first couple meditations. I named it, brought it back, and there was a crystal moment. Like you were saying with the 16 thought waves, and you said the 17th, but anyway, it was right there. And then I got into it. It was like right in between the waves.
Yeah.
And I went, ah, and then I lost it right away. So,
yeah.
I mean, I can see just in the naming and sort of letting it flow back, it's just right there, the awareness, you know.
Yeah, that clarity.
I couldn't hold it.
And when that clarity is there in the Heart Sutra, when that clarity is there, then you can turn it to anything.
Yeah.
So now that you know that the clarity is there, it is the essence of mind, everybody's mind.
Yeah.
Once you know that and you start to develop it, it can take a long time. It can happen overnight. It's not an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Then... Isn't that amazing? Just hold. Okay, look at this. Okay, look at this. Wonderful, thank you. Is that everybody? Who haven't I heard from? You're all... Lisa? Oh! Well, but I did speak to them. But do you have... having done at least 3 sits since we last spoke, do you have any enlightening thing you want to tell me? Or has it just been the same, or what?
I didn't fall asleep.
You didn't fall asleep?
Yeah.
Maybe you're not tired.
throat's feeling a little bit better.
Oh my God. That's nice. It's nice to see it. It's nice to sort of like put that one in your scrapbook. A little note under it.
Very profound what you said.
Good.
In our little session.
Yes, I understood. Good. Paul, do you have anything to add? I just saw him a little while ago.
Yeah.
All right. What do we get?
I'm trying not to focus on it so hard. So. And it still disappears sometimes, but then there's other times where it's...
Yeah. First you check to see if you're staring. If it still disappears, fine. But very often, if it disappears, like you were talking about, it just felt to me that you were looking at it too hard. And people do that with casinos because who knows, you know? Like, you've never done a casino before. You don't know what to do. So you think you're supposed to look at it. So you go... and then all of a sudden it disappears because your eyes are fixed. They're not looking. And it just...
like, when it disappears, I just don't blink.
Yeah. But if you just soften your vision, so that's your focus. That's where your eye consciousness is picking up messages, you know, and you keep that loosely as what you're looking at, and you ask yourself to hold it as your concentration, but loosely, no, not tightly. That's the meditation. Okay, what I am going to do here is I have these drugs. No. Each of your senses, like thoughts and, you know, images, thoughts and emotions, each set up a different energy in your mind body, don't they? Like and dislike. Everyone. There's a rippling different energy in your being. Is that clear? At the same time, that is happening from all the time, from all your sense doors. Right? Body. Some people are more aware of those, some people are less aware. Some people are more into mind, and some people are more into body. It, like, doesn't matter, eh? It's like a non-issue, eh? One of the senses that is really most interesting because it is the least conscious in its operation, operates most definitely hormonally, is smell. So other than shifting your mind, smelling something has a very quick, you can feel the ripples changing through your body. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave these here. These are four different smellies. And they're all from different plants. And what I want you all to do at various times, please don't get the lids mixed up. Okay? If you uncap one, hold the bottle while you've got it. So if somebody else comes and uncaps one and you put all the lids there, I don't want you to get the lids mixed up. Is that clear? What I want you to do is I want you to sit somewhere, not too close to somebody else who has one, and feel yourself relax, wiggle your toes. Some of you know that one from me. Stretch your toes, focus on your toes, feel your body here, relax your breath, and then open the bottle and just like this. Are you watching me?
Yes.
Just like this. I breathed in after I passed it under my nose. Then you just watch the feeling in your stomach, in your ribs, I don't care where. Then you do it again.